Now, we've heard from Judy Thompson that, in fact, the Swedish farmers, or a selection of Swedish farmers, are coming along today. Sweden not too far away from Holland, and obviously Holland we think of clogs. We don't necessarily think of clogs in Yorkshire, Jill, do we?
No, not really, but they're great. I'm just admiring all the different styles of shoe there is in a clog.
And we're lucky to be speaking now to...
Robin Shepherd.
Robin, talk to us about this, because our colleagues in the stick area have been highly complimentary in the sort of things you've got here.
Oh, that's nice of them. That's good for Ken.
Exactly. So what sort of things have we got here? Because as Jill rightly said, shoes with attitude.
Well, it's a traditional Yorkshire clog, and it was popular all over Britain at one time, but I suppose it's mostly associated with Yorkshire and Lancashire. And whereas the Dutch clog is usually completely made of wood, the traditional Yorkshire clog's a wooden base, a wooden sole, and a leather upper.
Yes, they're fabulous. I'm admiring the ones like little ladybirds, because my little 8-year-old would probably be fascinated by those. Yeah, they're lovely.
Most of the styles that on the shelf here are traditional, but then the ladybird ones, actually, they're a traditional pattern, but we just made them a bit sort of cheerful. Yeah, but it's an innovative idea there. But I must admit that my wife thought of that, so I'll have to come.
I mean, I expect they're a very hard-wearing footwear, so they'll last a long time. And I've never worn a clog. Are they a comfy shoe to wear, then?
Very comfortable, yeah. I think if you've never worn them before, even you bought a pair, probably a good thing to do would be to wear it around the house for a couple of days before you went out and about. But the farmer's clogs, which is like a boot-style clog, they'll last about, I think they'll last about three times as long as maybe a pair of working boots.
Yeah, I can imagine they do. They look really durable, but nice though. They're not as heavy. And when you think of clogs and you say the all wooden ones, I always look at them and think, well, I'd never wear a pair of those. Whereas I could see myself wearing a pair of those because they look quite comfy.
That's right. Yeah, I don't know how they keep the wooden ones on,
no,
actually.
I don't.
They call them slip-ons, but they're more like to slip off, I think. Yeah. But also another style is the dancing clog. I think we probably sell mostly farmer's clogs, but then the dancing clogs are a bit lighter and more like a shoe. And, of course, with the farmer's clogs, they'll have them shod with either rubber or irons underneath, whereas the dancing clog is just wood.
That's brilliant. I mean, tell us the process then. What do you start with? You start with the base, do you? With the wooden base, is that what you start with?
Yes, I'll have them roughed out. Start off with a block of wood or a bit of tree trunk, and then there's two ways of making the soles. One's a bit more traditional with the stock knives, so you have to carve it with different types of long pivoted knives that you use on a bench, which are about so long, three foot long, 3.5 foot. And there's different knives for each part of the process, so you'll rough them out with a straight knife, hollow the sole out with a curved knife, and then put the grip in, which is a little rebate round to take the leather. Put that in with a little gripper's stock knife. And the other way, you can use bandsaws and routers to get the same effect if you're in more of a hurry or you have some very dry timber.
How long does it take to actually make a pair of shoes then?
Well, somebody just asked me that a little while longer, and she said, oh, I shouldn't have asked that because I'm a jewellery maker and I know it's impossible to tell because you might cut out lots of soles all in one day, and another day you might cut out lots of uppers, and then another day you might stitch lots of uppers, and another one you might knock up a lot of clogs or last them up or whatever. So
it's craftspersonship rather than mass production. That's the key thing, James.
I guess so, and it wants to be tailor-made to each person's individual foot.
I was just going to ask you that. Is that what you do? You tend to make them for the person individually, so you'll measure the feet and everything and then make the clog?
That's right, yes. So I'll draw around the foot and measure over the top of the foot, you know, the highest part and the lowest part and the width and everything. And if there's any sensitive parts of the foot, bunion or something, or sort of sensitive sole, or it's low arch or high arch or whatever, you can allow for that in the sole.
Well, that's amazing. I mean, you don't get that with shoes normally, do you? I mean, that is a real selling point to me, if you can know that your shoes are just made to fit your feet.
That's nice.
I can't think of the number of pairs of shoes I try on in the shop and they feel okay. Get home, you walk around and they've got blisters everywhere for the
that's
day.
That's right, so yeah.
It sounds great to me.
You have to sort of shape the foot, shape the sole the shoe to match your foot, but it's hard work, isn't it sometimes?
Is, yeah.
I'm thinking of Danny Kaye in Hans Christian Andersen, basically, in producing a special sort of a set of ballerina slippers, really. Perhaps we should commission you, James, to do something for Jill, as our regular correspondent here.
Lovely.
Is there a way in which people can reach you via the web? Is there an internet address?
A website's just been created, and that would be www.robin-shepherd/greenwoodclogs. I think that's right.
That makes perfect sense. And it has to say also corrects me immediately because I refer to you as James. That's, of course, it's Robin. It's a Rangers piece. It's been too early in the day. But, you know, we'll keep that in as opposed to an outro. Robin, fantastic stuff. Is this your first Countryside Live?
I've been here before, obviously, to shows, but it's the first time we've had a stall here, yeah.
Well, nicely positioned just by the press office. I think that's very good, that. And of course, the horse area as well.
That's right. Well, the horses are competing. I was going to do a bit of clog dancing sometimes, but I think I might just frighten them, mightn't I?
Do you know, if you're doing clog dancing as well, I think we need to set up another location for you. What do you think?
I think definitely, yes. Yeah, I'm there.
Well, we're still in the main arena here, or the main ring, and we've just found ourselves by Bishopton Veterinary Group, and obviously Equine Minster Veterinary Clinic, but we're speaking now to
Sophie Throop.
Sophie, good to touch base with your good self. I gather that you are media trained, so you're all sorted out on that basis.
Yeah, well, we'll see how we go on, shall we?
Be wonderful. Okay, Jill, questions for Sophie?
Well, no, I'm just really trying to get my head around exactly what is it that the service is.
Yeah, sure. Well, Minster Vets and Bishopton Veterinary Group are part of a large sort of coordination of practices called XL Vets. We have 46 practices around the country, predominantly specialising in farm, equine and some small animal work as well. And so one of our sort of whole ethics is about sharing resources and professional development and marketing, lots of different services. And so this is why on this occasion we've come together to talk to lots of different horse owners at Countryside Live, and we're looking forward to another really good day.
Great, that sounds brilliant.
You mentioned Excel, the magic phrase, of course, because we're used regularly to cover the annual Bradford Excel Small Animal Show, which has now shifted to the Yorkshire Harrogate Showground. Are you part of that as well?
No, that's something different. Excel Vets is sort of a company of vets. Yeah.
Just wanted to clarify that, because otherwise you could be all sorts of things there, from animal feed onwards. In terms of, obviously, a show like this, I mean, we've got a wonderful view of the main area, lots of other activities going on there. We've spoken to a lot of folk in the horse industry, which is a huge industry, etc. Do you find that actually the interest is growing almost day by day as opposed to year by year?
It's very interesting. The horse clients in particular always wants to know a huge amount of stuff about their animals and about their stock, and they're very interested to ask lots of questions. And so here at the show itself, it's really important for us to always have a vet on hand. So if anybody does have any questions or any bits of interest that they're wanting to discuss, they can come along to us and have a chat. I mean, we're obviously not doing any consultation work, but it's just interesting for them to raise their knowledge about various different topics. Both practices as well run several horse health evenings throughout the summer, which anybody is invited to, and so it's an opportunity again for people to come and hear from a veterinary perspective about lots of different health matters and lameness and fertility and all sorts of other things as well.
And it's such an important area. I've a member of our family, he has a number of horses in Northumberland, and I mean, when you talk to him about the horses, they're beautiful. He's got the stables on his land, but the veterinary side of thing is just essential, because there's always one of the horses have something that they need the veterinary care there for, and so they'd rely very much on the local vet in their area. So it's just such an important part of owning horses, isn't it?
Well, it is with any animal, and certainly the emphasis that we would always place on anything to do with any animal care is about prevention is better than cure, and it's about sort of working with our clients and working with our farmers and our horse owners and our pet owners to make sure that they have as much knowledge as they can, as they want and they need, to help look after their animals properly, and then hopefully it reduces the emergency cases that we have to go and deal with, and we're really sort of embracing that partnership working.
And Sophie, the web address that people can reach the Bishopton Veterinary Group by?
Well, if we go into www.xlvets.co.uk, all our members are listed there, and so Minster Vets and Bishopton Vets are both available on a click through from there.
And that ties us nicely in to your colleague here, who you're going to introduce, who's not media trained, but I'm sure will be very well indeed in all sorts of ways. Would you like to introduce him?
Yes, this is Julian Rishworth from the Minster Veterinary Centre.
Julian, good to speak to you.
Good morning.
I mean, again, it's fantastic. I always think Countryside Live has a growing energy. I mean, this is the eighth time round for Countryside Live, and it just seems to be getting better and better each year.
Yeah, I mean, what started off as a fat stock show has grown into a multi-species event now that's attracting more and more people each year. It's a fantastic vibe here, yeah.
We talked about our mutual colleague, Stuart Easby, who's regularly with us on various outside events and so on. The whole vet industry is something which is so vital, but people often sort of, you know, they think James Herriot, so they think it shouldn't happen today. Have we moved on? Is there a 21st century version, or do you still spend most of your time sticking your hand in the rear ends of bovine material?
The day-to-day work of the job is very similar, yes. I mean, you know, and animals are still getting the same sort of conditions they did sort of 80, 100 years ago. So the nitty-gritty of the job is much the same. But what has changed is what the level to which clients want things taking. So they want much more precise diagnoses. They want the modern treatments, and they want to do absolutely the best for their animals. So we've had to up our game and provide what the clients are wanting.
And of course, we've seen with respect to horses, not only have we got the competitive horse market, we've also got the sort of social horse market as well that's in place, really. I mean, both presumably equally important and equally vital.
Very much so. I mean, in our practice and most of the XL practices, you know, we go for everything from race horses, which are very, you know, commercial, very professional environment, right through to the pleasure horse owner. And the pleasure horse owner wants much more than they did, 20, 30 years ago.
Jill?
No, just listening to you, obviously, I totally can see that nothing's really changed, has it, about animal welfare and the illnesses they can get. But obviously the treatments are so much better these days, aren't they?
Definitely. I mean, not only can we diagnose and find things that we didn't even know existed years ago in terms of the advanced imaging we have available, we have some very cutting forefront levels of treatment available now, and we're so much better these days at controlling pain, which was something that wasn't given its due place, you know, maybe 50 years ago.
And specifically, what was it about veterinary surgery or veterinary work that appealed to your good self? Was it coming to a show like this as a young man, or how did you actually sort of think, that's what I want to do?
My history is I started with horses. We've had horses all our lives, and through competing and being with horses in all my spare time when I wasn't at school, it was a natural progression to go onto the veterinary side. So yeah, that was my route in.
Okay. Well, I have to say, I mean, obviously Sophie's impact is rubbing off on you in every sense of the word, really, because that was a quintessentially perfect interview, really.
It was absolutely perfect, yes.
Congratulations. You're listening to Southside Broadcasting in association with Ather & Co. And Pharmanor Nutritional Supplements on location at the 8th Countryside Live. And we've just been speaking to Sophie from the Bishopton Veterinary Group and, of course, Julian from Equine Minster.
Thank you.